Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
For the first few weeks after moving into the apartment, Lauren blamed almost everything on the building. It was older, with hardwood floors, narrow hallways, and radiators that made themselves known whenever the temperature changed. She could hear people coming and going in nearby units, televisions through the walls, and occasional footsteps in the hallway. None of that bothered her. She had lived in apartments before and knew that buildings had their own collection of noises. The footsteps were different. They usually started sometime after midnight while Lauren was in bed and sounded as though someone were walking through the apartment itself. They seemed to begin somewhere near the living room, cross through the kitchen, and continue toward the back door, which opened onto a narrow stairwell leading down to the rear entrance of the building. The first time it happened, Lauren was convinced someone had gotten inside. She checked every room and then checked both doors, but the apartment was empty and the locks were secure. When it happened again a few nights later, she tried to convince herself the sound was traveling from another unit. Old buildings carried noise strangely, and footsteps from another floor could sometimes sound much closer than they really were. The problem with that explanation was that Lauren lived on the top floor. She jokingly mentioned the noise to the landlord, who suggested pipes or movement in the access space above part of the ceiling and offered to have maintenance check it. Lauren told him not to bother. At that point, it was still just an odd sound in an old apartment. For a while, the footsteps were the only unusual thing. Then one of the kitchen drawers started opening. It was the bottom drawer beside the refrigerator where Lauren kept dish towels, plastic wrap, and the miscellaneous things that didn't seem to belong anywhere else. Every so often, she would close it before bed and find it several inches open the next morning. At first, she assumed she simply wasn't pushing it in far enough, so she started making a point of closing it firmly. When that didn't help, she emptied the drawer, checked the track, and looked for anything that might be catching behind it. Nothing seemed broken, and when she tested it repeatedly, the drawer stayed closed. Then one night she woke to a sharp wooden bang from the kitchen. Lauren turned on the lights and found the drawer standing completely open. She shut it again and went back to bed, but that was the first time the apartment truly made her uneasy. For the rest of the night, she found herself listening for movement from the other room, half expecting to hear the drawer slide open again. A week later, the footsteps returned while Lauren was still awake. She heard one step, then another, moving slowly through the living room. The sound continued through the kitchen and toward the rear of the apartment, following almost exactly the same path she had heard before. This time, though, it ended with a heavy thud near the back door. Lauren waited before getting up. The rear door was locked, and when she switched on the stairwell light, no one was there. The next morning, the kitchen drawer was open again. By then, she had begun noticing that the strange things in the apartment weren't as random as she had first assumed. The footsteps always traveled in the same direction, toward the rear stairs. Sometimes the heavy thud followed, and sometimes it didn't, but the path never seemed to change. The drawer continued opening every few days as well. Once Lauren came home from work and found it open, even though she distinctly remembered closing it before leaving. Another time, she pushed it shut, walked into the living room, and heard it slide open behind her. When she turned around, she caught the last few inches of movement. That was harder to dismiss. Lauren checked whether the floor was uneven and eventually borrowed a level from someone at work. The cabinet wasn't perfectly straight, but there was nothing obvious that explained why this particular drawer kept opening on its own. She considered calling maintenance, but decided against it. She had no idea how to explain that a drawer seemed determined to stay open without sounding ridiculous, and she still wasn't ready to call any of what was happening paranormal. That changed one Saturday afternoon when she had a longer conversation with Denise, the woman who lived across the hall. Denise had been in the building for more than 10 years, and although the two women had exchanged greetings before, they didn't know much about each other. They happened to be downstairs near the laundry room at the same time and started talking about the building. When Denise asked how Lauren was liking the apartment, Lauren said she liked it well enough, although it had a few strange quirks. Denise's reaction caught her attention. She asked what it was like living in that particular apartment after everything that had happened there, apparently assuming Lauren already knew the story. When it became obvious that she didn't, Denise seemed almost embarrassed to be the person telling her. Several years earlier, a woman named Melissa had lived in Lauren's apartment. Late one night, she had been found dead at the bottom of the rear staircase. Investigators believed she had fallen while going downstairs, and eventually her death had been treated as an accident. Lauren immediately thought about the footsteps. She asked where Melissa had fallen, and Denise indicated the staircase at the rear of the building, the one directly outside Lauren's back door. Suddenly, the path those footsteps followed night after night seemed far more important. Lauren asked a few more questions, and Denise told her that Melissa had lived alone but had been involved with a man who spent a lot of time at the apartment. Denise didn't know many details about their relationship, although she remembered hearing arguments from time to time. She also remembered that some people in the building had questioned whether Melissa's death was really an accident. Nothing had ever come of those suspicions. Police had spoken to the boyfriend, but according to what Denise remembered, he said he hadn't been at Melissa's apartment that night. When Lauren went back upstairs, the apartment felt different. For the first time, she imagined Melissa moving through those same rooms. She thought about the footsteps beginning near the living room, crossing through the kitchen, and heading toward the back door. Then she pictured the narrow stairwell just beyond it, and the woman who had been found at the bottom. Lauren tried not to let Denise's story affect her, but that night she stayed awake much later than usual. Shortly after 1, the footsteps started again. They crossed the living room, moved through the kitchen, and continued toward the rear door before ending with the same heavy thud she had heard before. Lauren remained in bed and listened. Several seconds later, another sound came from the kitchen, the slow scrape of wood against wood. When she walked into the room, the bottom drawer beside the refrigerator was open again. This time, Lauren didn't immediately close it. She stood there staring at it, thinking about Melissa, the rear stairs, and everything Denise had told her. Until that afternoon, she had thought she was dealing with unexplained noises and a strange drawer in an old apartment. Now she was beginning to wonder whether the things happening around her weren't random at all. Maybe something in that apartment had been trying to get her attention. Once Lauren knew about Melissa, it became almost impossible to hear the footsteps without thinking about the night she died. She still reminded herself that knowing the story could change the way she interpreted ordinary sounds, but the pattern had been there long before Denise ever told her anything. The footsteps had always started near the living room, crossed through the kitchen, and moved toward the rear door. The heavy thud had always come from the direction of the stairs where Melissa had been found. What Lauren couldn't understand was the drawer. It continued opening every few days, and now she found herself wondering why that particular spot seemed to matter. It wasn't near the rear door or the staircase. There was nothing about Melissa's death that connected her to the bottom kitchen drawer, yet it had been opening almost from the beginning. Lauren tried ignoring it for a while. If she found it open, she sometimes left it that way rather than immediately closing it. Strangely, nothing seemed to happen until she eventually pushed it shut again. Then within a day or two, it would be open. The footsteps changed before Lauren figured out why. She woke one night to someone moving quickly through the living room. These weren't the slow, measured steps she had heard before. They sounded hurried, and before they reached the kitchen, another set of footsteps started behind them. Lauren sat up in bed. The first set was lighter and faster. The second sounded heavier and seemed to follow several steps behind. Both moved through the kitchen toward the rear of the apartment. Then came the familiar thud. For the first time, Lauren wondered whether what she had been hearing wasn't simply Melissa walking toward the stairs before an accidental fall. If the sounds were somehow connected to what happened that night, there may have been another person in the apartment with her. The next day, Lauren asked Denise a few more questions. Denise didn't know whether anyone had actually seen Melissa's boyfriend there that night, but she remembered the relationship had become troubled. There had been arguments loud enough for neighbors to hear, and Melissa had apparently been trying to end things shortly before she died. Police had questioned the boyfriend afterward, but according to what Denise remembered, he maintained that he hadn't been at the apartment that night. There had never been enough evidence to contradict him, and Melissa's death remained an accident. Lauren finally told Denise about hearing two sets of footsteps. Neither woman knew what that meant, but Lauren found herself paying much closer attention after that. Over the next week, the drawer became more persistent. Lauren came home from work twice to find it standing open. One evening, she closed it while making dinner, left the kitchen for less than 20 minutes, and returned to find it open again. She finally called maintenance and simply said the drawer wouldn't stay shut. A worker checked the track, adjusted it, and tightened part of the cabinet. Lauren tested it several times afterward, and it stayed firmly closed. For nearly a week, nothing happened. Then, sometime after midnight, Lauren woke to both sets of footsteps. The first moved quickly through the living room. The second followed close behind. This time, Lauren could hear the difference between them clearly enough that it sounded less like random noise and more like one person moving away from another. The footsteps reached the kitchen. The heavy thud followed, and then the bottom drawer slammed open. Lauren went into the kitchen and found it extended almost as far as it could go. She pushed it closed and stood there for several seconds. The drawer slowly opened again. At that point, Lauren was done trying to explain it. She emptied everything onto the counter, pulled the drawer completely free of the cabinet, and looked into the narrow space behind it. At first, there was nothing except dust and a few bits of debris. Then she noticed something dark wedged deep against the back wall. Lauren reached inside and pulled it free. It was an old cell phone. The battery was dead, but the phone itself appeared intact. More importantly, it hadn't simply fallen behind the drawer. It was wedged too far back and too deliberately positioned for that. Someone appeared to have put it there. Lauren carried it across the hall to Denise. Denise couldn't say whether the phone belonged to Melissa, but it looked old enough to have been there when she lived in the apartment. Neither woman wanted to start guessing about what might be on it. Lauren briefly considered giving it to the landlord, but decided against it. If the phone had belonged to Melissa, and if there was any chance her death hadn't been accidental, Lauren didn't want it passed casually through someone else's hands. The following morning, she contacted the police. She explained where she had found the phone and told them she knew a woman who previously lived in the apartment had died under circumstances some people had questioned. She didn't go into much detail about the footsteps or the drawer. As far as Lauren was concerned, the phone itself was enough. An officer eventually came to collect it. Lauren had no idea whether anything could still be recovered from it or even whether it had belonged to Melissa, but that night she went to bed expecting the footsteps. They never came. There was no movement through the living room, no heavy thud near the rear stairs, and no sound from the kitchen. For the first time since Lauren had moved into the apartment, everything remained completely quiet, and the bottom drawer stayed closed. For nearly 2 weeks after the police took the phone, Lauren heard nothing unusual in the apartment. The quiet should have made her feel better, but instead it made her more certain that the phone had mattered. The footsteps had been happening for months. The drawer had opened often enough that she had called maintenance about it. Then, almost immediately after, she removed the phone from behind the cabinet and turned it over to police. Everything stopped. Lauren knew that didn't prove anything, but she still found herself checking the kitchen drawer every morning. It stayed closed. She heard nothing from the police at first and assumed the phone had either been too damaged to recover anything or hadn't belonged to Melissa at all. Lauren had no real connection to the case, so there was no reason investigators would keep her informed. Eventually, she stopped expecting to hear anything. Then, several weeks later, someone knocked on her door. The woman introduced herself as Melissa's older sister. Lauren was caught off guard, but she knew immediately why she was there. The sister explained that police had contacted the family after confirming the phone belonged to Melissa, and she had asked for Lauren's name because she wanted to thank the person who found it. Melissa's family had always believed there was more to her death than an accidental fall, but they had never been able to prove it. Her relationship with her boyfriend had been getting worse in the months before she died, and she had told her sister about arguments and about wanting to end the relationship permanently. Her family knew she was unhappy, but they hadn't realized how frightened she had apparently become. The phone changed that. Investigators had been able to recover messages Melissa had been saving without her boyfriend knowing. Some were angry, while others were threatening enough that police were now taking a much closer look at what had happened in the weeks before her death. More importantly, there were messages from the night Melissa died. Her boyfriend had originally told police he hadn't gone to the apartment that evening. According to his statement at the time, he had last spoken with Melissa earlier in the day and had been somewhere else when she fell. The messages told a different story. Melissa had repeatedly told him not to come over, and he had responded that he was coming anyway. That alone didn't prove he had reached the apartment, but it was enough to show that part of his original story may not have been true. Police had reopened the investigation. Lauren listened without saying much. She had spent weeks wondering whether the things happening in the apartment were connected to Melissa, but hearing that the phone had actually contained something important made the entire experience feel different. She eventually told Melissa's sister about the footsteps in the drawer, expecting at least some skepticism. Instead, the woman became emotional. Melissa had owned two phones shortly before she died. Her regular phone was found with her belongings, but the second one disappeared. The family had assumed she had lost it or gotten rid of it. Her sister knew Melissa had once mentioned keeping certain messages somewhere her boyfriend couldn't access them, but no one had known what she meant. Lauren told her where the phone had been hidden. Neither woman knew exactly how it had ended up behind that particular drawer, but Lauren couldn't stop thinking about how many times the drawer had opened before she finally removed it. After that meeting, Lauren and Melissa's sister stayed in occasional contact. The investigation moved slowly, and there were long stretches when neither of them heard anything new. Detectives began re-interviewing people who had lived in the building at the time of Melissa's death. Some remembered very little after so many years, but others remembered more once they were asked specific questions. One former tenant recalled hearing an argument upstairs that night. At the time, he had assumed it was coming from another apartment and hadn't thought much about it. Another remembered seeing a car resembling the boyfriend's parked nearby, although he couldn't say with certainty exactly when it had been there. None of that alone was enough, but combined with the messages from the hidden phone, investigators were able to start rebuilding the timeline. They also went back through evidence retained from the original case and took another look at Melissa's injuries. What had once appeared consistent with a fall looked less simple when considered alongside evidence that someone she had been afraid of may have been in the apartment with her. Months passed and Lauren continued living there. The apartment remained quiet. No footsteps crossed the living room in the middle of the night. No heavy impact came from the rear stairwell. The drawer never opened by itself again. Then Melissa's sister called with news Lauren had begun to wonder if they would ever get. Police had arrested the former boyfriend. Lauren didn't learn every detail immediately, but enough had apparently come together for investigators to believe Melissa had not been alone when she died. The boyfriend eventually admitted going to the apartment that night after years of denying it. He claimed they argued and that Melissa fell during the confrontation, but investigators believed there was more to what happened. The case would still have to work its way through the courts, but for the first time, Melissa's death was no longer being treated as a simple accident. Her family finally had what they had wanted for years. Someone was being held accountable, and the story they had never believed was finally being questioned. That evening, Lauren found herself thinking about Melissa more than she had in months. She stood in the kitchen looking at the bottom drawer and remembering how hard she had worked to explain it away. She wondered how long the phone might have remained hidden if she had never pulled the drawer out and whether anyone would ever have questioned Melissa's death again if it hadn't been found. Sometime after midnight, Lauren woke. For a moment, she wasn't sure what had disturbed her. Then she heard footsteps moving through the living room. There was only one set this time. They moved slowly into the kitchen with none of the hurried pace Lauren had heard before. There was no second set following behind and no heavy thud near the rear stairs. The footsteps simply crossed the apartment and stopped. Lauren waited, but nothing else happened. In the morning, the kitchen drawer was still closed. She never heard the footsteps again. Lauren would never know exactly how Melissa had managed to lead her to that phone, but by then, it was hard to dismiss everything that had happened as coincidence. The footsteps had followed the same path Melissa apparently took the night she died. The drawer hiding the phone had opened again and again until Lauren finally looked behind it. And once the phone was found, all of it stopped. For years, Melissa's death had been remembered as an accident. Her family believed otherwise, but they had never been able to prove that someone else had been with her that night. And the man who had insisted he was never there was finally being held accountable for what happened. Maybe that was all Melissa had been trying to accomplish. She hadn't been haunting the apartment because she was trapped there, and she hadn't been trying to frighten Lauren. She had been trying to tell someone the truth, and once someone finally listened, Melissa never needed to make another sound.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.